I heard an old black Baptist preacher say one time that the hinges of human history have turned upon the insignificant man linking his life with the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And the older I get, the more I feel that that is true. It's not what we are or who we are, but it's who He is. When He is Lord of our lives, well, great things transpire in our lives. We met together tonight in the name of the Lord, and I pray that He will bless us in our gathering. We've had a good day. I've enjoyed the proceedings of this day, and pray the Lord will bless us for a few minutes tonight as we look into His holy word. If you have your Bibles, turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. This will be our last service within this revival meeting that we've been having. You know, there's always a bitter sweet to last things. I remember studying about the coming of the Lord, and I think there's a bitter sweet in the study of eschatology or the study of last things. I've been asked many times, well, what am I? Am I a premillennialist or a postmillennialist or an amillennialist? And I frequently said, well, I'm a panmillennialist. It's all going to pan out according to God's holy word and according to His sovereignty. I do believe that. I do believe that everything that God has revealed to us in His holy word will take place. That every precept of prophecy will be completely and comprehensively fulfilled. God will leave nothing undone according to His divine decrees. In these passages of Scripture, there are several things that I honestly don't understand. Brother James kind of set me up in the beginning of this revival, asking me about us being created in the likeness of God. And I kind of stammered and stumbled and him hauled around about responding to him and answering him. So I asked him one day this week about the son of perdition and the man of sin. I knew I could get him to stammer and stumble at that one. But he did give me a couple of answers and responses, and you can get with him later about that. But a lot of times we fail to look at the most important parts of a passage of Scripture. We sometimes hone in and draw our attention upon the more difficult rather than the obvious. See, I contend the obvious in Scripture is used to explain the obscure. Those things we understand are to be used in understanding the more difficult passages in the Bible. Now, there's a lot of things in the Bible that I simply do not understand. Those of you that come here know that already. That's no news flash for you. But one of the problems that developed in the church of Thessalonica is that they were polarized by the prophecy and polarized by the prediction. They were polarized by the promise of the coming of the Lord. And there were some false teachers and misunderstandings and misconceptions that perhaps the Lord had come and they missed it. Perhaps they were left behind. There were some that were preaching the Lord had come and left some of the dear beloved saints in the grave. Listen, people, that's just not going to happen. And Paul wanted to address those issues with the church at Thessalonica. Now let's keep in mind that at this particular time, a lot of the New Testament had not been written. There are a lot of passages of Scripture that we are familiar with and frequently use that the early church didn't have at their disposal. They didn't have access to them like we do. So I'll make you mindful of that as we go along. But there's coming a day when God is going to shut the gates of grace. No one will ever have another opportunity to be saved. That day is going to come. There's a last millennium. There's a last year. There's a last month. There's a last week. There's a last day. There is going to be a last hour for this world. Jesus frequently The sixth chapter of John made reference to the last day. There's going to be a last time, a last opportunity for this world to get right with a holy God. This could be that time. This could be that day. I actually believe this could be that hour. Now, most of you who have heard me preach for the number of years that you've been attending here, you know I believe strongly in an imminent return of Christ. The Lord can come back anytime, at any day. But for the people of Thessalonica, who were disturbed, upset, shaken in mind and heart about these things, actually, they had begun to neglect some of their duties. I suppose if we thought the Lord was going to come back tomorrow, most of us would go out and use that credit card excessively tonight. I don't know, maybe not. I know a few of you that would be a temptation for you. You don't have to raise your hand. I know who you are. They were shaken. They were disturbed. They were neglecting some of their duties. They were not going to work, not going to their jobs. They were not caring for their families. They were not continuing the pursuit of sustaining this life. And listen, until the Lord comes back, we still need to be good citizens. We need to be good parents and take care of our families and do all the things that the Bible teaches that we're supposed to do. And yet at the same time, I fear that we sometimes have gone to an extreme. While the people of Thessalonica were shaken and upset and disturbed and expecting at any moment the coming of the Lord, we have grown somewhat apathetic toward His coming. Perhaps we live our lives so contrary to the coming of the Lord that people don't realize that we're expecting it. Are you expecting the Lord to return? Are we really looking for our redemption, expecting the Lord's return at any time? I have many great expectations, and a few years ago I preached a message with that title, The Last Night of the Revival, Great Expectations. I still have great expectations. One of my great expectations is the Lord is coming back. And so Paul, he was addressing some of these issues, and they were being polarized by panic. They were, by the prophecies of the Lord Jesus Christ, being polarized. And yet we have those same prophecies, and rather than panicking, we're just not prospering. We are not pursuing, we are not planning our lives in conjunction with the coming of the Lord. Listen, every Christian needs to plan their life according to the coming of the Lord. Now, they had gone to an extreme here. They had some wrong notions, some wrong expectations. But when we have the right expectations of the coming of the Lord, we will always calculate or we'll always add to our plans the coming of the Lord. He could come today. I don't know how long it's going to be. I don't know if it's going to be years or months or millenniums. I don't know. I don't know how long it's going to be before the Lord comes back. But in every generation, the people of God should be anticipating it. They should be expecting it. We need to look up. Look up! God's people need to walk around with their eyes fixed on the sky, awaiting the Lord to split it. He's coming back, people. And sinner friend, when He does, the gates of His goodness and the gates of His glory, they're going to shut, and they're going to shut forever. Now, there's a lot of people that think that after the coming of the Lord, that all of Israel is going to be saved. They have taken one particular passage of Scripture, and I think they misinterpret it. They don't interpret it according to context. They think that the people of Israel are going to be saved despite their rejection of the Messiah. Listen, you reject the Lord Jesus Christ and you are doomed. I don't care whether you're a Jew or a Gentile. Jesus is the only way. He is the truth and He is the life. We have a lot of people today that have the attitude that they can be saved apart from the gospel or apart from Jesus Christ. We have a lot of loose Christianity, a lot of Christians who are saying, well, these people that don't believe in Jesus, they'll still make it to heaven. No, they won't. It's only through the shed blood of Jesus Christ that man is saved. We need the atoning work of Jesus applied to our hearts in order to go to heaven. So they were polarized. They were in a state of panic. And we've gone to the opposite extreme. We're just kind of going along, doing our own thing, kind of eating and drinking and being merry. For tomorrow we die. Most people today have very little expectation of the coming of the Lord. And we need to revive that in our hearts, in our lives. And as he begins in the second chapter of 2 Thessalonians, that's how he beseeches, how he implores the people at Thessalonica. He begs them. He begs them as brethren. By what? By the coming of the Lord. Not only by the coming of the Lord, Jesus Christ, but the gathering together unto Him. Do you long for that day? Don't you look forward to that day? Let me say to those of you that are not saved, and you're here tonight, we know it, you know it, God knows it. If I can implore you and beg you and plead with you concerning your state, concerning your resistance or your neglect, whatever it is, I would implore you by the coming of the Lord. Listen, you need to be ready. One of the primary purposes of the prophecy of the coming of the Lord is that mankind would know that they need to get ready. Do I need to say that again? Did y'all get that? Grasp that? You need to put that in the margin of your Bible. That's the truth. These prophecies concerning the second coming of the Lord, the second advent of Jesus Christ, is to prompt us, motivate us to get ready for His coming. We need to be ready. I think that particular passage, and as he begins to talk about many different things that were going on at Thessalonica, some of the things that he had already preached to them and taught them at Thessalonica that we don't have record of. We're kind of missing parts of the conversation between Paul and the church at Thessalonica. But one of the main things that he's pressing, you'll find in verse 15, that they were to stand fast. No matter what happens, the church of Jesus Christ, we need to stand fast. We need to stand fast and unmovable until the Lord comes to get us. We don't need to be sleeping, though the 10 virgins were sleeping. We don't need to be overly involved in this world, because this world is going to be destroyed with fire and brimstone. Amen. Knowing these things, what kind of attitude should Christians have, Peter said, toward the world, toward life? We know that the end is coming. And we should not be take up with the things of the world to the degree that where it daunts or hinders or help us stay on the right page and have the right focus on the second coming of the Lord. There are things sometimes that hinder us about the coming of the Lord. There are things in life that can hinder us and keep us from a spiritual expectation of life. So, he begins and says, look, don't be soon shaken in mind or be troubled neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us, as the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you. That's the same thing that Jesus kind of taught his disciples. He warned them that there would be times where people say, lo, here is Christ, or lo, here is there is Christ. He said, don't be deceived. Matthew 24 and 23. He tells them in these passages to not let people deceive them because the coming of the Lord was not imminent. Now that's what he told the people at Thessalonica. And he told them why it wasn't at hand and why it had not come. He talked about here in this passage about a falling away. Notice here. He says, except there come, verse 3, a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he is God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not? Here's where he talks about when he was with them, and how that he had tutored them and taught them and preached to them. Don't you remember that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way. And then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whom coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusions, that they should believe a lie. You know, tonight Satan would speak to us, tell us we've got plenty of time. The Bible says the devil is a liar. He was a liar from the beginning. He is the father of lies. He can visit your spirit, your mind, your heart, and he can tell you you've got plenty of time. He's lying. He doesn't know. You don't know. I don't know. Actually, Jesus said not even the angels of heaven know. Only the Father in heaven knoweth the coming of the Lord that day and of that hour. And so maybe through the course of this revival, you've heard these revival messages, and Satan has deceived you into thinking that you have plenty of time. Don't listen to him. Please do not be deceived. Bible always talks about getting saved now. Now's the acceptable time. Now's the day of salvation. The Bible talks about today and now. Don't put it off. There's coming a last day. There's coming a last hour. There's coming a day when the gates of grace will be shut and no one will have any more opportunities. Jesus taught that frequently in many parables. He talked about those that would stand outside the door and knock and plead to be let in. Jesus would say, I didn't know you. You didn't get saved. I never knew you. Don't be one of those left outside. Listen, tonight, I know it's the last night of the revival, but I'll tell you something, people. I believe from the depths of my heart, today, tonight is the night of salvation. You need to get saved tonight. The Lord could come back tonight. I feel that from the depths of my soul. Know that in my heart. You might say, well, look, preacher, you've used a passage of Scripture that actually talks about the Lord not coming back because of a falling away that has to occur first. Listen, there have been many falling aways. Seven churches of Asia, they fell away. You go back to where these churches were first established, they fell away. You go back up into England, you go back to North Carolina and South Carolina and Virginia, church after church, generation after generation has experienced many mighty falling aways. Amen. What about the son of perdition, the man of sin? What about the Antichrist? Well, I'll give you a passage. A little later, just a few years later, you can read in the book of John. I believe it is. John chapter 2. Turn over there. John, before he died, he was writing some of the last epistles, some of the last letters. He tells us in that particular passage that the Antichrist had arrived. That's what it says. Well, I turn over there and read it with me. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. Verse 18. Little children, it's the last time. Lay hold of that. God's people were in the last dispensation. The very last one. The last dispensation. The last age. The last time. That's what he says. Read it there. Verse 18. Children, now is the last time. You know, this could be your last opportunity to get saved. This could be the last service you're ever in. This may be the last time I preach from this pulpit. I don't know. I really don't know. Do you know? No, you don't. That's why the Bible instructs us and teaches us to boast not ourselves of tomorrow. We don't know what a day may bring. Even James would tell us, you know, you better be very careful in your business life and in your plans for the future. You better make sure you say, if the Lord wills. You don't really know. You just don't know. This could be the last time somebody pleads with you to pray and seek the Lord and repent and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. I do know this, children. This is the last time. Why did John say that? Why did he affirm that? He says, you know, you have heard. Haven't we heard? You've heard about the Antichrist. How did they hear about the Antichrist? Well, Paul was preaching about it. Paul was telling them about the Antichrist. Paul had written epistles about the Antichrist coming. And John says, the time has come. The Antichrist that John preached about and wrote about and talked about and was teaching you about, that Antichrist is here now. I'll read it for you word for word. Little children, it's the last time. And as you have heard that the Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists. Whereby we know that it is the last time. Man, that's pretty plain, isn't it? Nothing obscure about that. John made it real plain for us, didn't he? Now, I don't know if you realize or not. Of course, we could go through the book of Revelation, and I realize the book of Revelation gives us, unfolds for us, pulls back the curtain for us on many ages or many years, many hundreds of years of time, I guess I should say. And through that, many of the false prophets and false teachers and false religions develop, and we read about them. Even Muhammad and Islam, it's in the book of Revelations. If you read it the way I read it. And I'll tell you, Islam is an antichrist religion. Amen. As are many others. And they are the fastest growing religion on the face of the earth. Perhaps in a few years they say they'll be taking over France and taking over other small nations just by multiplication, just by reproducing. It's sweeping the globe. An antichrist religion is sweeping the globe. I'm telling you, you need to realize the time of the Lord's coming is close at hand. There's nothing tonight on the scope. I know there may be preachers that disagree with me and lay members that disagree with me, and that's just fine. You can preach whatever you want to preach, the way you want to preach it. I'm going to preach it the way my convictions are, okay? There's nothing on the scope of history that prevents the Lord from coming back. It's what I believe. He could come back tonight. John said the Antichrist are here. They're here. And there's nothing to prevent the Lord from coming back. It is the last time. John realized that the Lord could come back in his day. And I realized that he could come back in our day. Paul, a little later on in some of his writings, he had expectations of the Lord even coming in his day before he died. Listen, my friend, the Lord could come back tonight, and you best get ready. The gates of grace are fixing to close. There may be just a little crack there. The hinges, though, are prepared to shut and shut eternally. Listen, my friend, if you're not right with God, if you've never been saved by the grace of God, it's not too late. You have time, you have opportunity, you have breath, you have consciousness, you have the ability to come to the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. Don't forsake that or neglect that or turn that away. The time is at hand. Seek the Lord. Seek the Lord till He rains His righteousness upon you. The Lord's coming. He's coming back in power and great glory. Amen? He's coming with all the saints of God. He's coming back and He's going to raise the dead. Bible tells us clearly in the book of 1 Thessalonians that the Lord's going to come with a shout.
the voice of an archangel and the trump of God's going to sound. The dead in Christ are going to rise first. Then we which are alive and remain at the coming of the Lord, we're going to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Listen tonight. If you've not been saved by the grace of God, you need to get on board. The old ship of Zion is still going through this world, sailing with its sails wide open. And while the Lord and the Holy Spirit is working with the church of the true living God, you need to get in. Get into the ark of safety. Be saved before it's everlasting too late. Listen, the gates of grace are fixing to close, much like this revival meeting closing. I'll never forget. In 1971, when I got under conviction, during that revival meeting, when I got under conviction of my sins at fellowship in Indianapolis, Indiana, my heart, I was still lost, and they were closing the meeting. And I went 6 months before I got saved to the next revival meeting. I don't know if I thought maybe, I know I sought the Lord at other places and things, but this could be the last service you're ever in. And I'm undaunting in my expectations. The Lord can save you tonight. You may have come here a sinner, but you can leave saved. And I implore you, I plead with you, by the coming of the Lord and the gathering of His people, to seek Him with all of your heart and get saved tonight. We're going to sing a verse of some song. I guess you guys expected to be la-la to sleep tonight because of the last service, last sermon. Listen, I'm telling you what, we better stay on fire for God. Amen. Too much at stake. Too many lost people that we love and are around from day to day. We have co-workers and friends and neighbors and children and grandchildren. There's too much at stake. Paul told them the latter part of that letter. They need to stand fast. Stay true to the doctrines. Stay true to those things that are right. Be devoted and loyal to the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't let anything get you off course. Let's seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Let's seek first the heavenly things, the spiritual things. Let's seek first things that are first. Let's just put first things first. God first. Amen. He's got to come first. Right, Brother James? Lord's got to come first. Tonight, let's put the Lord first. If you've not been saved by the grace of God, come to Him. Come to Him while you have time and opportunity. Come. Many antichrists in the world. There's been many fallings away. You ask some of these older people and they'll tell you that there seems to be there was a falling away in their generation. In comparison to many that were saved when they were young versus those that are getting saved today. Clear indication of what? A falling away. The antichrist are on the rise, both near and abroad. We need to be aware of the fact that the coming of the Lord is at hand. And we need to be ready. Be ready. Sinner friend, be ready. Jeremiah, I suppose, summed it up. He said, the summer is past, the harvest is ended, and we are not saved. Oh, how sad a condition to be in the last days. Come, while you have time and opportunity, as we stand and sing a verse of some song, stand to your feet tonight.